You're listening to the New Point Community Church Podcast. This message is part of our message series, Game On. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
Well, hey, New Point, it is great to be with you today. We are completing a series today called Game On, where we're challenging you to get off the bench and into the action. And what you just saw in that video is just a snapshot, just a little bit of many of you who have done that, who get that, who are in the action, you're in the game, and you understand that what we do here on the weekends at New Point is a team sport. And I just want to take a moment and thank you for that. Thank you for being game changers, and thank you for understanding that we're all in this together, and what we do here is indeed a team sport. Now, I'm not the guy that usually communicates on the weekends here at New Point, so I do want to take a moment and introduce myself. My name's John Bunn. I'm one of the guys on staff here. I've been on staff at New Point for about 14 years. And what I have the privilege of doing right now is leading our creative teams for all of our campuses. So at all five of our New Point campuses, what happens in the big room on the weekends is that's what my team is responsible for, basically. And it's awesome to be a part of that, and I'm grateful to be a part of a team that gets it and understands that it's a team sport. And so I want you to understand that more today. I want you to get a glimpse of why we do what we do and what we're about here at New Point, especially when it comes to what happens in the big room, like we like to call it, the room that we're in right now, on the weekends. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment, but I want to say this. I've been here 14 years, and I've seen a lot of change. I mean, I've seen, you know, I was at New Point before we were multi-site. We were one campus in Sugar Creek, Ohio, and we've seen changes. I've held many different roles, but what happened over 14 years ago is I met a guy named Dwight Mason. He's our lead pastor. And I got with him, and we sat down, and we had lunch one day. And he started sharing with me a vision that he has for Northeast Ohio to reach people for Jesus Christ. And so much passion was coming out of him. And I remember sitting at that lunch thinking, man, my heart beats just like this guy's does. This guy thinks he can change the world, and I believe him. And you know what? I want to be a part of that. And I remember that lunch that day. Something in me clicked, and I thought, man, I want to get on board with that. I believe in the vision and mission of New Point Community Church. And 14 years later, I want you to know this, I still believe in the vision and mission of New Point Community Church. I'm still passionate about it. It's still hot for me. If there was somewhere else I thought where I could make a greater difference or be a part of an organization that was doing more to impact the world and change the world for Jesus Christ, I would be there. But I believe it's New Point, and it's an honor to be a part of a church like this. And I hope you feel the same way. Now, if you're new here, if it's your first time here even, we're glad you're here. We're honored that you chose to be with us today. Today's a great day for you to be here. Because what we're going to do today is we're going to kind of pull back the curtain here at New Point and kind of let you see the inner workings, kind of why we do what we do and what we're up to, and kind of our philosophy and our approach, especially to our weekend gatherings, our weekend services here at New Point. So it's a great weekend for you to be here, and we're glad you're here. I want to start by asking you this question. I don't know how much you've thought about this lately. I don't know if you've ever thought about this. But here it is. Why does the church exist? Why are we even here? Why go to all this trouble? I mean, for New Point, for our organization, it's five campuses. It's 11 services every weekend. It's nonstop. The weekends just keep coming. Every 7 days, we're doing it over again, and it just keeps coming, and it's a lot of work, and it's a lot of planning, and it's a lot of rehearsal, and it's a lot of volunteers, and there's a lot that goes into it. So why do we do it? What's the point of it? So we can have a club? So we can come and have something to do on the weekends? Why does the church exist? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because we believe the church is the body of Christ. And what that means is that we are Jesus' representation to the world. We are the body of Christ. We represent Jesus to the whole world. Now, you might say this, okay, well, that's great. if the church is the representation of Christ or Jesus' body, then why did Jesus need to come? I think that's a great question. Well, Scripture's really clear on why Jesus came, and here it is. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And so what we do here at New Point is we take our cue from Jesus. His mission is our mission, to seek and save the lost. And he set an example for us to follow. But here's where we get sideways. Here's where we have a tendency, and it's kind of human nature, and we can get twisted here sometimes because we are so self-preoccupied. We are so, what's in it for me? We can so easily have an attitude of, what do I get out of this thing? And just inwardly focused in me, and my needs, and here's what I need. We tend to focus on that. We do things like church shopping, because we want to go find a church that's going to meet my needs and suit what I want and give me what I'm looking for. And can I just take a moment? Maybe you're here today and you're church shopping, and that's fine. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Here's what I would say, though. When you church shop, your primary question needs to be, is this church on mission? Is this church one that's here to seek and save the lost, because it's the body of Christ? And that's what Jesus came to do. To seek and save the lost. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Mark 2:17. He said, healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. He said, I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, not the religious, not those who are already in, but those who know that they are sinners. And so we need to ask, is this the church? Is the church here to meet my needs? To serve me? Or is the church here to win others to Christ? So let's get real clear on this right from the get-go. We are here to seek and save the lost. We're not here for healthy people. We want you to get healthy. We want to help you stay healthy, spiritually speaking. But we're here for sick people, spiritually speaking. And we are more convinced now than ever that the local church is the hope of the world, living and teaching the truth of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ. And so we have a primary question that we filter everything to. And here it is. How do we love people? And how do we introduce people to the love of God? We have conversations like this all the time. Now, if you've been around New Point much at all, you've heard Dwight say this a lot. A lot. And here it is. People who were nothing like Jesus liked Jesus. And conversely, Jesus liked people who were nothing like him. People like you and me, right? And this, by the way, drove the religious people crazy, because it wasn't supposed to work that way. Doesn't seem right. They're not like us. And can I just say this, and you already know this. Right now, in our culture, in today's world, Christians are currently defined by what we're against rather than what we're for. And I don't know about you, but that breaks my heart. That the body of Christ is more known for what they're against than what they're for. And we're a church. New Point, we are a people, and let's be real clear on this, we're for people. We are for our communities. We are for our cities. We are for your neighbor. We are for your coworkers. We are for the people that are doing well. We are for the people that aren't doing so well, because we are for people, and we want the world to know what we're for. We don't want to be about what we're against. What are we for? We're for people. That's what we want to be. We want to be known for what we're for, not what we're against. Now, here's why this matters. I'm going to throw some stats up on the screen here. They might be a little shocking. Some of you already know this, though. For some of you, this is new information, but I hope it gets our attention. Here's the first one. 2/3 of Protestants between the ages of 18 and 23 leave the church. Does that bother you? 2/3. 2 out of every 3 of our kids within Protestant denominations, within Protestant churches, when they get to college age, they're like, I'm out. You know why? Why is that? Because the church hasn't given them any reason to stay. Church hasn't given them a reason to stay. And that's hurt. That's hurtful. They leave the church. Here's another stat. Only 3% of non-Christian millennials have a favorable view of Christianity. Only 3%. That's just embarrassing. That's an embarrassing stat. Because the church is the body of Christ. We're his representation. And if people who were nothing like Jesus liked Jesus, then people who are nothing like Christians should like Christians, right? And if only 3% of non-Christian millennials have a favorable view of evangelical Christianity, then guess what? We're not very much like Jesus. And so we as a church are determined to change this. But we have a lot of work to do. Here's another stat, and this is a little better. Millennials are still fascinated by the teachings of Jesus. That's good news for us. Millennials are still fascinated by the teaching of Jesus. And that gets back to what I've been saying. People who are nothing like Jesus, they still like Jesus. So the good news is we still have leverage in our communities because most people have a favorable view of Jesus, which means this, that the church has gotten between Jesus and the culture. We've become judgmental. We've become known more for what we're against than what we're for. And that's a turnoff. And the reason this should bug you is this. I'm going to take you to a guy named Paul that we read about in the New Testament. In fact, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And Paul was a Christian killer, literally. His mission was to stamp out Christianity at one point. And then he had this radical conversion. He came to know Jesus, and he helped Christianity spread all over the world. But here's what Paul has to say about this whole idea of being, you know, being known for what you're against rather than what you're for, being judgmental. Here's what he says in 1 Corinthians. He says, "What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside." He's saying this, you're so busy judging people outside the church, guess what? They're going to like Jesus, but they're not going to like you. So maybe you should stop policing what's going on outside the church and start policing what's going on inside the church. That might be a whole lot more attractive to people. Because people who were the furthest away from God did not feel judged by Jesus. You see it all through the New Testament. They never felt judged by Jesus. So what that means here at New Point, what that means for us is that we do some things differently. I'm going to talk more about that in a moment. But what it doesn't mean is this, that we've ditched the teachings of Jesus, or even that we've ditched conservative theology, or that we've ditched the Bible. No way. We've just embraced a different approach. What we've set out to do at New Point is to create churches that unchurched people like to attend. And the difference is really this. We've embraced a different approach. We've embraced a different approach. Not a different message, not a different Bible, not even a different view of the Bible, but a different approach. And the reason we've done that is this. When you care deeply about somebody, you obsess about your approach. I'll give you an example of what I mean. Guys in the room that are married, you know this. Suppose you're driving home from work and you've got to have one of those heart-to-heart talks with your wife. There's something going on, something's coming up, and you've got to have a conversation. And it's going to be one of those, it could get awkward, it could be, you know, it could be a little painful, it could sting, you know. What do you obsess about as you think about this conversation? I mean, you know what your point is. You know what the application is, right? You obsess about your approach. Because you know this, it doesn't matter how right you are, if you give the wrong approach, you're going to end up needing to apologize. Ladies, you know this too with your husbands. The wrong approach, it doesn't matter. You can be right, but if you take the wrong approach, it doesn't matter how right you are. Those of us that have kids, you know this. The approach you take with your kids is so important to them understanding what you're trying to communicate. I have three kids. I need a different approach with each of the three. I can't take the same approach with all three, so I obsess about the approach. How am I going to approach them? How's this going to go? Because when you care deeply about somebody, you obsess about the approach. And so as a church, we really care about our communities. We really care. And if we really care about people who are far from God, then we obsess about our approach. And we ask this question, What's the best approach? What's the best approach when it comes to impacting a generation of students for Jesus Christ? What's the best approach to engage adults who have disengaged from the church? And here's the difference for us. We're not interested in, and we'll never be interested in, being a church that stands in a circle, shoulder to shoulder, facing inward. That's not who we are. That's not what we're about. This is a church that stands shoulder to shoulder, and we face outward. We face out to the community. And so as a result, you ready for this? We're willing to break some rules. Rules. We're willing to do things differently. We're willing to color outside the lines. We're willing to get messy. You know why? Because that's how relationships work. I want you to notice when Jesus came to earth, he didn't say this. He didn't say, I have come that I may be right and be right more abundantly. That wasn't his goal. Or else he could have just come down and said, you're wrong. You're living in sin. That's wrong. That's a sin. You're mistaken. That's a big no-no. I'm right. You're wrong. See ya. It's not why he came. Churches that have that kind of mentality are churches with their backs to the community. And we don't want to be that church. Jesus is facing the community. By the way, that's why you're a Christ follower. If you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've made a decision to make him the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life. It's because somebody didn't have their back inward focused, their backs to you. They faced outward. So you had an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That's why you're here. That's why you're a Christ follower today. Here's what Jesus said. He said, I came that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. And when a group of people get together around this idea right here, and they're going to take an approach that matches and matters to the people in their community, that's the game changer. So Jesus' goal wasn't to be right. His goal was to connect with people. Here's a great example of that. When Jesus, before he went back to heaven, after his resurrection and before the ascension, he gave a command to his followers. We call it the Great Commission. He said, go therefore into all the world and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father. In other words, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. He said, go into all the world and build this thing, the church, the body of Christ. Go, expand this, take it all over the world. Get outside Jerusalem. Get outside Judea and go expand this thing. And what happened is, I'll make a little bit of, this is in my mind, this is how this could have gone, that God the Father's in heaven with Jesus beside him looking down on this thing going, they're not doing it. What's going on? Jesus, I thought you told these guys to go. And Jesus going, well, I did. You know, I'm not sure. God saying, you know what? We're going to need to go back down there. I'm going to send you back there. You got to recruit somebody to get this thing going. And Jesus is going, okay, who is that going to be? And the Father's saying, well, there's this guy named Saul, who by the way, became Paul. Jesus saying, you, the one that's killing Christians, the one that's trying to stamp out Christianity, yeah, that's the one. Well, he's the one trying to stop Christianity. God, the Father says, yeah, but he knows how to get things done. So Jesus comes back. Paul experiences a dramatic conversion, does a complete 180, becomes the biggest Christ follower you ever heard of, and is the one who really got this thing going and expanding the church. And here's what Paul, after all that, and after getting fully on board with the mission and the vision of the church of Jesus Christ, here's what Paul had to say. This is what he wrote. He said, even though I am free with no master, I have become a slave to all people. Why? To bring many to Christ. He goes on. When I was with the Jews, check this out because this is approach. I lived like a Jew. Why? To bring the Jews to Christ. He goes on to say this. When I am with the Gentiles, the non-Jews, I too live apart from that law because that's what they did. So I can bring them to Christ. But, by the way, I do not ignore the law of God. I obey the law of Christ. In other words, he's saying, I'm willing to do anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus Christ. That was Paul's approach. I'll do whatever it takes. He goes on to say this. When I'm with those who are weak, I share their weakness. Why? For I want to bring the weak to Christ. Yes, I try to find common ground with everyone. Check this out. Doing what? Everything I can to save some. Doing everything I can. You know the church that embraces that phrase? Doing everything we can. The church that embraces that makes a difference in their community. Why? Because this phrase implies that I'm going to put people first and tradition second. This phrase implies that I'm going to put people first and my preferences second. This phrase implies that I'm going to put people first and my comfort zone second. This phrase implies that I'm going to put people first and what I'm used to second. This phrase implies that I'm going to put people first and my favorite parking spot or that place I always like to sit in church or the routine that I have on the weekends at New Point second. Because that stuff's not important in light of what is most important. And that is bringing people to Jesus Christ. I share this with our creative teams all the time. We have to be more in love with why we do church than how we do church. That's not in your notes, but you might want to write that one down. We got to be more in love with why we do church than how we do church. Listen, let's not get hung up on, well, I didn't like that, or I don't know about that, or I wouldn't have done it that way. Because you know why? It's not about you. We're trying to reach a world for Jesus Christ. Look at the words of Jesus in Mark 7, 9. He said this, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. He was talking to religious people. He was talking to church people right there. Here's the clincher. We'll go back to what Paul was writing. This is how he finished up. He said, I do everything to spread the good news and share in its blessings. I do everything to spread the good news. You know, people have not rejected the gospel as much as they've rejected our approach to the gospel. So I want to, with the time we have left here today, I want to give us some super specific things for us to think about as a church. Now, I don't think any of this is new, and many of you are already doing this, and thank you for that, because you guys get this right a lot. Let this be a reminder. Let this be a kickstarter. Let this be like, yes, that's right. That's why we do this. Let's get back to that. But here's why we're talking about this today, because it's so easy to become inward focused. You know, the people who are here all the time are the ones that do most of the complaining. Do you know people who have never been to New Point don't complain about New Point? Here's what I'm saying. It's the insiders that get all the attention because you hear it, because they're inside, right? And it's real easy for us to start paying attention to that. And going, oh, well, so-and-so doesn't like this. And if they don't like that, we got to be careful. Maybe we shouldn't do that because we don't want them to leave. And we lose focus on why are we here. We're here for people not here. We exist for the sake of the world. So let this be a reminder. Again, if you're new here, if this is your first time, it's the first time you've heard some of these things, I want you to know what this church is all about. And here it is. I want to talk about our approach right now. Here's our approach. Number one, we orchestrate and evaluate with outsiders in mind. Let me define outsiders for you. It's simply people who are outside the faith. It's people that don't know Jesus. So we assume, as a result, we assume that we have guests in the room, like a day today, like today even. We assume there are guests in the room. So that's why we as a church think and plan as a family entertaining guests. Now I want to unpack that for a minute because I want you to know that every time we gather here at New Point, this is how we think. This is our approach. We're not going to change what we believe, but this is going to be our approach. By the way, let me ask you this question. When is your home the neatest? When is your home the tidiest? When is your home the cleanest? When does your home smell the best? When you're expecting guests, right? That's why here on the weekends at New Point, for our services, we need to make sure this place looks great. Why? We're expecting guests. We're a family and we're expecting guests. That's why, by the way, we have people in the parking lot helping people find parking spaces. You may say, I don't need help finding a parking place. I park at the mall every weekend. I don't need your help. We're expecting guests. We want to make it easy. We want to make it inviting. We want to help them get a great parking spot. We want to help them find their way into a building they're unfamiliar with. We want to help them meet people. Our host teams, our new to New Point teams. We want to help them get their kids in the right place. We got wonderful people at check-in stations helping brand new families get their kids to the right environments. That's why we do that. That's why we're hosts. We're a hosting people. We need to have a host's mindset. We're going to assume there are guests in the room. We're going to assume that every time we gather, there's a husband whose wife has been begging him for years to come to church, and he finally gave in, and today's the day. And he's like, all right, I'll give it a shot. We're going to assume that he's in the room. We're going to assume there's a 17-year-old that kind of checked out on church and the family. And finally, the family was able to get him to come. And they're praying and hoping, like, I hope God shows up somehow. I hope something great happens. I hope he connects somehow. We're assuming he's here. We're assuming there's a brand new family that just moved to town, and they're looking for a place to connect and feel loved and be a part of something. We're assuming that they're in the room. And when we embrace this idea, we become a church where people, even if they're nothing like us, they like us. So another thing we do is this. We identify and remove unnecessary obstacles. We identify and remove unnecessary obstacles. Every time we evaluate anything, songs that we do, the length of the message, everything that happens in the big room or as a part of the weekend experience at New Point, it goes through this lens. You know, Jesus, by the way, came to earth to remove obstacles. He's like, okay, there's this God that you can't see. I want to remove an obstacle. I'm going to come in the flesh. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is who God is. I want to remove obstacles. And so we take our cues from Jesus, right? We want to remove obstacles. That's what we're trying to do. By the way, that's why you're wearing jeans here today. Or even shorts. You look down your row, probably somebody in your row is wearing shorts today. And you know what? We're okay with that because we don't want your wardrobe to be an obstacle to coming to church. I remember inviting a friend to church, I'd say 11 or 12 years ago. And here's what he said to me. I don't have church clothes. I said, good news. I don't either. And I'm a pastor. He came and he's still a part of New Point. Removed an obstacle. I love that. You know what I mean? So we're very strategic here in regards to doing church. Do you know why we're strategic? Because God's a strategic God. And so we ask questions like this. What would keep me from inviting an unchurched friend or family member to come with me? Is there anything that we do that would be a turnoff? Is there anything that we do? And we're not perfect. We're just a family. And we're not going to abandon our beliefs or our values. We're not going to pretend, but if there's anything that would keep me from inviting a friend or a family member to church, then I should at least know about it so we can put it out there and get it on the table and say, is there anything we can do about it? This, by the way, if you're curious, this would be why we generally do about 3 worship songs at our weekend services. Some of you are like, I love worship. You're worshipers. And you're like, I wish we had more music. I wish we'd just camp out there for a while. I wish we'd double that amount of songs. I wish we'd do 40 minutes of music. And I get that. I got to worship too. But here's what I would invite you to do if that's you. And you're like, there's not enough music. I would say, invite somebody to come next weekend. Pay them $20 if you need to. Say, hey, doing a little experiment. Would you come and sit in church with me and let me know what you think? And you got your unchurched friend, somebody that's far from God, sitting next to you, and we start the worship songs, I guarantee you, about halfway through the second song, you'll be going, is this song over yet? When's this going to end? This enough. Because your friend is sitting there looking around. They don't know the songs. They don't know the words. They don't know the music, right? They're just going, I don't know about this. It changes your perspective when you do that. Similarly, you might ask, why do we do church, songs in church sometimes that aren't even Christian songs? Do secular songs. We're trying to connect with people. I'll never forget, here's another story. Well, this was a while ago too. We did a song to open a service, Life is a Highway. Fun song, right? Not a Christian song, but a fun song. I had somebody tell me weeks later, after she'd been at church for a while, she goes, I remember my first Sunday at New Point, I showed up and you guys sang Life is a Highway, and that is my favorite song. And she said, I knew this was going to be my church. I mean, how great is that? So write down your favorite songs for us and we'll try and do them. Put it on the info card or the communication card. No, we can't really. But that's why we do that stuff. Here's what else we do. We determine to be as concerned about those who we are reaching as we are about those who we are keeping. Now, I've kind of already talked about this, but this is the hardest one. And this is where most churches miss it. Because most churches are consumed with who they're keeping, not reaching. But here's the thing. If we are a reaching church, then we're going to keep people. Because great people want to be part of organizations and churches that are reaching people. And everybody knows somebody that's far from God. You know what we say around here a lot? We give up the things we love for the things we love even more. You know, in 14 years of being on staff here at New Point, I've worn a lot of hats. And I've seen a lot of change, and I've had to say goodbye to some things that I really love. And I do it because there's things I love even more, specifically reaching people for Jesus Christ. Because it's not about my preferences or my tradition or the way I would prefer to do church. We're trying to reach people who have disengaged from church. You know, when you look at a service through your eyes, you become a critic. Well, I didn't like that song, or that lasted too long, or I wish they'd do more hymns. But when you look at a service through the eyes of your friends, that's why you need to bring somebody with you. You'll feel totally different about things. When you look at a service through the eyes of somebody that doesn't know Christ, you're going to look at it differently because your focus is different. You're thinking about them. How's the experience for them? How's this going for them? Are they able to connect? Because we're thinking, how do we create environments for people who don't like church? To be able to come to church and find it interesting and enjoyable and, oh, by the way, want to come back. So number two on our approach is this. We differentiate between the message and the method. And here's what I mean by that. The message is what we believe. The message is what we believe. The method is what we do for others as a result of what we believe. And when a church confuses the message, which doesn't change, with the methods, which do change, but when these two get bundled into one thing, it's almost impossible to make change in a church because you start to feel like, uh-oh, we're messing with truth here. Uh-oh, we're compromising. Uh-oh, we're becoming like the world. But that's because you've mixed the message with the method. And so those are always separate. The message will not change. But how we deliver it, our approach, has to. You know, Jesus' message empowered him to expand the scope of his ministry beyond the religious norms. The religious people of his day had a very difficult time ministering to people who were nothing like them. Why? Because their theology, their traditions, the stuff they liked kept them from doing that. They were all about being ceremonially clean. Or not mixing with sinners, or not sinning themselves, not being too close to sinners. And their theology, or you could say it like this, their message that they were so concerned with, kept them from doing ministry. Our theology should not limit our ministry. Our message should not stymie change for the sake of reaching people. Our theology should expand and blow the doors wide open to the people we can minister to because we're certain about something. We haven't confused it with anything. We're certain that the message is still true. We're certain that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. We're certain that that's still our message and our mission. Now, you might be here today and you might say, wow, John, it feels like I'm sitting in a staff meeting. Well, you are in a way. Because if New Point is your home, then you're on the team. And it's a team sport. It's game on. And we need you. We need you to understand this. We need you to get this. We need you to live this out. Because we're all in this together. It's a team sport. Now, I want you to imagine with me for a moment if we did all get this. Imagine if we were all concerned about reaching and not just keeping. Imagine if we got that. Imagine if we were all willing to change and adjust our approach in order to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Imagine if we were all to embrace the messiness of this world so we could reach people for Jesus Christ. Imagine if we were all committed to loving people in our cities, in our communities, in our neighborhoods like Jesus did to reach them. Imagine if we all fell more in love with why we do church than how we do church. Imagine the difference we could make. And as I wrap up, I want to share an experience I had probably about 20 years ago. I'll never forget this because it's one of those things God used to shape me. My family and I were at a restaurant after an Easter service, Easter dinner out, you know what I mean? The restaurant was crowded. It was a nice restaurant. It was a good place to eat. It's packed, people at every table. Halfway through our meal, this guy gets up and he starts stumbling around the room and he starts wheezing, "Hit me on the back! Somebody hit me on the back! Hit me on the back!" And he's just all over the room. "Hit me on the back!" He was choking. He didn't know what to do. Something was caught. And I remember a room full of people sitting there in stunned silence watching this guy. Finally, one lady cried out, "Dear Jesus, help him!" That was the most support he got from anybody in that room. Eventually, a bartender from another room came running in, gave him the Heimlich. And he got whatever was out, piece of meat, whatever. And he was okay. And I remember leaving there. So mad at myself for not springing into action. So disappointed with myself for not doing something about somebody that was dying. I remember God saying, "John, that's a picture of you and the people around you who don't know me." And it wrecked me. And I said, "I don't ever want to be that guy that just sits there and watches somebody maybe die." I don't ever want to be the guy that just sits there when there's people around me that are literally dying and they spend forever somewhere. And you know what? I don't think you want to be that person either. So here's what we're going to ask you to do. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Three things. Here's what I want you to do right now. This is how you can get into the game. First thing you do is pray. You go, "Okay, well, that's easy." But here's how I'm asking you to pray. Pray like you've never prayed before. Pray for people that are far from God. Every one of us knows people who don't know Jesus. Make a list. Some of you got what we call my 10 list. Keep praying. Make a list of 10 people. You know 10 people that don't know Christ. And you pray like you've never prayed before that they would come to know Jesus Christ. You pray that you would get an opportunity to invite them to come to church on a weekend. That's the second one, by the way. You invest and you invite. You invest in them. You love them. You love them well. You invest and you invest. And then you ask God for the opportunity to be able to say, "Hey, do you want to come to church with me this weekend?" That's our whole strategy for reaching people. You invest and you invite. And then finally this, if you haven't done it already, get into the game. Step up and serve. If you haven't already, it's time. We can use your help. We have a big job in front of us, and it's a big world, and there are people literally in every one of our neighborhoods surrounding our homes that don't know Jesus Christ. And we can use your help here on the weekends at New Point. You can let us know your interest in that communication card that's in that you get in your weekly or in the seat back in front of you. Will you bow your heads with me? I want to pray for us. Heavenly Father, first of all, we love you. And God, I'm grateful for this church. I'm grateful for New Point. I'm glad to be a part of it. And we thank you that we get to be a part of it. And I pray that what we talked about today would not just be one of those things where like, okay, those are good ideas. But I pray that it would just rock us to our cores and that it would spur us into action and that we'd get real, real intentional and real, real serious about reaching people for Jesus Christ, about following the example of Jesus when he said, "I've come to seek and save the lost." God, help us to stay on mission. Help us to get this right for your kingdom's sake. And again, God, thanks for letting us be a part of it. We're grateful. And we're honored. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know about how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.